It's been 10 years since New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy announced his resignation and proclaimed to the world, "I am a gay American." It was rumored for years that McGreevy was living in the closet, but it wasn't until he put Golan Sapel, a man he was having an affair with, on the state payroll that things changed. Sapel threatened to out the governor with a sexual harassment lawsuit, and that forced McGreevy to come out to his wife and New Jersey voters. Our audio news director Eugene Son was in the governor's outer office that day covering the speech and recently sat down with McGreevy to reflect on what has changed in the past decade for him and for gay rights.
Governor McGreevy, welcome to Newsworks Tonight. It's nice to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming.
Eugene, it's a pleasure to be with you.
I want to play a soundbite from your speech of 10 years ago when you announced that you were resigning.
One has to look deeply into the mirror of one's soul and decide one's unique truth in the world. Not as we may want to see it or hope to see it, but as it is. And so my truth is that I am a gay American.
That's the longer version of the soundbite. Most people just focus in on the "I am a gay American" part. And in that, it details how for a long period of life, you longed not to be gay.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, when did that transition happen for you in terms of when you no longer wanted it to go away?
I think probably 2 hours before the speech. It's something that, for me, it was a decision that I made, Eugene, you know, 5-6 years of age in Boy Scouts, in third or fourth grade, and which was only reconfirmed as I went through high school, because being gay was seen as being less than masculine, being less than, and then it was only fortified in the then political culture. So it wasn't necessarily a decision that I re-examined during the course of my life. It was something that it was a decision that I made as a young boy, which was only the correctness, the quote-unquote rightness of that decision was only reaffirmed by what I did for a living, which was living in politics.
Mm-hmm. I want to play one other part from that speech.
I realize the fact of this affair and my own sexuality, if kept secret, leaves me, and most importantly, the governor's office, vulnerable to rumors, false allegations, and threats of disclosure.
You were talking about the threat of a sexual harassment lawsuit by a gentleman, Golan Sapel, and that was what set in motion you making this decision to resign. But I was wondering whether friends or foes, had anyone in the political arena threatened to try to out you in the past? I would imagine there was so much speculation about your sexual orientation. I was wondering whether anyone had tried to use that as leverage in political negotiations.
In the first time I ran back in 1997 against Governor Whitman, there was a discussion that friends have since told me in the state GOP to either publicize or to put out that, you know, McGreevy is gay. And much to her credit, Governor Whitman said, "That's his personal business. I'm having nothing to do with it. And it's not happening on my campaign." And so, you know, in the sort of the give and take and sometimes the almost barbaric nature of contemporary campaigns, to reflect back to the decency and the goodness of Governor Whitman, completely unbeknownst to me, bespeaks of a different time and a civility that I think has somewhat been lost in the American political give and take.
During your time as governor, one of your accomplishments was passing domestic partnership legislation in New Jersey, which wasn't easy to get through the legislature at the time.
With the Democrats or Republicans.
And I'm thinking that it was still a few months ahead of when the court decision in Massachusetts would legalize same-sex marriage there. When you were passing that domestic partnership legislation, how far off did you think same-sex marriage was?
Oh, seemed incredibly far off. I mean, the notion of being outwardly gay, when I looked at Larry Kramer or David Mixner or David Rothenberg, I mean, they were heroes who almost at that time, when you came out at that generation, you were immediately placed in the advocate straitjacket, whether or not you wanted to be there or not, just simply for having the courage and the decency and the wherewithal to come out. But as to marriage, frankly, I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime.
Your current job, you're executive director of Jersey City Employment and Training Program, that's correct?
Yes.
And you both administer employment programs but are over implementing a new prisoner reentry program, correct?
Yes.
I'm curious, when you were governor, you had initiatives looking at prisoner reentry. Since then, Governors Corzine and now Governor Christie have their own initiatives on the subject. How does it look differently from your perch now, kind of on the city and street level, versus being from a governor saying, hey, we should do this?
You know, I think what I did and what most governors do across the nation is, frankly, window dressing is nonsense, is, you know, tinkering with the system. I mean, the reality is that we have over 2 million fellow citizens behind bars. We're 5% of the world's population, 25% of the world's incarcerated population. And the results are disastrous. I mean, prisoners get out of prison. Within 3 years, two-thirds of them commit another felony. So it stinks. And so I think, you know, what I've learned both from being in seminary and being on the ground, working with Integrity in Newark and now Jersey City with Mayor Fulop, is that you have to do three things well. One, you have to keep people in sobriety. If people aren't sober, they can't work, they can't reunify with their family. Second is housing. People have to have a safe, sober, and structured environment within which to live. And third is employment and training. People have to work. So, you know, we're doing that in Jersey City. You know, it's really gritty work. I mean, literally picking somebody up from jail, putting them into transitional housing, testing their urine, making sure that they follow up on their training, on their employment, and then making sure that they also comply with intensive outpatient or their addiction recovery. It's very hands-on. And I think there's a predilection in American government to do the expensive, easy thing, as opposed to the far less expensive but far more labor-intensive process of reintegrating.
In preparing for this interview, I looked in, and I haven't seen anything recently written about your personal life. Are you and your partner, Mark O'Donnell, still together?
Yes.
Have you considered, now that it's legal, getting married?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to discuss my... Gene, if you're going to become my parish priest, that'll be a topic of appropriate conversation.
Governor Jim McGreevy, thank you for coming in.
Just Jim. Thanks, Eugene.
You can read an essay from Jim McGreevy reflecting on the past decade at newsworks.org.